Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, COVID-19 country review continues at this time. And of course, throughout the day, we had our morning session and of course, we had the afternoon session beginning at 4 o'clock. Right now, as advertisers promised, it's time for us to look at, you know, another area or take it from another perspective in terms of COVID-19 country review. And today we have with us Dr. Gbenga Omonije. He's a medical practitioner and I dare say some sort of emergency and trauma specialist. All right, Dr. Omonije, you're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Great to be here. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So let's start from the very beginning. Coronavirus, the world's, if I might say, the, you know, public health pandemic in the last 100 years has come to stay. True or false?
Well, it looks like we have a self-perpetuating situation on hand in the world right now. And just a sort of background, the virus itself is a novel coronavirus. It's called the severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2, which everybody calls in the scientific community SARS-CoV-2.
Yes, that's
virus. And it was first identified as an outbreak of a respiratory illness in cases in Wuhan City, the Hubei province in China. And as a sort of timeline of how we happen to be in this situation, the WHO reported on the 31st of December 2019 that there is an outbreak. And on January 30th, 2020, the WHO declared that COVID-19 outbreak is a global health emergency.
Okay.
So from that time up until now, there's no country in the world that has been spared the coronavirus, as we can put it. So on March 11, 2020, the WHO declared COVID-19 a global pandemic. And it is the first such designation since declaring the H1N1 influenza as a pandemic in 2009. So, in essence, the illness that the whole world is afraid of today is caused by the SARS-CoV-2, which we all term COVID-19. All right? And the acronym is derived from Coronavirus Disease 2019. So that is a sort of background to how we came about it. Specifically, at the country level in Nigeria, the first recorded case here was on 27th of February 2020 in Lagos State, where we had an Italian resident in Nigeria, visiting Nigeria, who returned from Milan on the 25th, and he came in contact with locals. And the first death as a result of the disease happened in Nigeria on the 22nd of March 2020. In a 67-year-old male patient in Abuja. So the word coronavirus itself, corona itself, is literally, it's derived from the Italian language, which simply means crown, because the virus looks like a crown when you examine it under the microscope.
A crown that nobody likes to wear.
Nobody wants to get resilient with that, exactly. So it's what is coronavirus itself? So it's one of those viruses that is called the RNA virus and is of zoonotic origin. That means that it's originating from animals, not humans, but it's transmitted from animals to humans. And usually it infects mammals and birds. So, on the whole, in the whole world, we have seven strains that have been identified of the coronavirus, all right, that causes human infection. Four out of the seven causes mild and self-limiting respiratory tract infections. And 3 out of 7 causes fatal pneumonia. And these three, they include the one we call SARS-CoV, which was the initial outbreak in 2002 to 2003 in China. It caused a severe acute respiratory syndrome. Remember, there was this SARS outbreak that the whole world was talking about in, around that time. And then the second one was the MERS-CoV, that is the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, CoV, that's a coronavirus, had an outbreak around Saudi Arabia between 2012 and 2013. And then the third one is the recent one that we had in Wuhan, China, in 2019, the SARS coronavirus 2, the SARS-CoV-2. So in terms of globally, what is the epidemiological picture? As of February 28th, there has been 114 million infections globally, and 2,500 deaths. However, out of the 114 million infections, 89 million, or almost 19 million, have recovered globally. Now, if we look at Nigeria specifically, we look at the NCDC website, the Nigeria Center for Disease Control.
Yes.
We've had 156,000 confirmed cases in Nigeria. Currently, we have 19,437 active cases. We've discharged 135,000 from isolation centers and private healthcare providers. There have been 1,923 deaths, and we expected just about 1.5 million of our citizens.
All right, let's just hold it there because we are really not the figures and they are right before me. Every day we read these things out. Now, two things quickly. One, samples tested less than 2% of the entire Nigerian population. Is that good enough? Secondly, if you look at all of this, where does this lead us? It does not give us the accurate figures. If you go by the last NIMR survey, and we spoke to the DG this morning, he was talking about one in every four or one in every five persons in Lagos and some other states, you know, coronavirus will have passed through them.
So the reality of the situation is that we now have what we call community transmission. Okay. We've not been able to track the progression of the spread among our communities and our population. We didn't test enough, okay? And there are definitely a lot of reasons you could allude to that. Basically, Nigeria is not a very rich resource country like the other countries in the Western world as it is. So it is the resources that is available to government that government has used to ensure that we could at least test as much as our resources enable us to do so. So have we done enough tests? No, we haven't done enough tests. But what has happened since is that we now have community transmission. So when they say 1 in 4 has the virus, so for us who are practitioners in the field, that means that whoever comes in as a suspected case of COVID-19, we would have to make sure that we eliminate the possibility and confirm the presence or absence of the virus in that individual when they present. And we see a lot of them present in the emergency rooms. So that answers your, I think that's your first question.
Yes.
Are we testing enough? What was the second question?
The second question has to do with, well, if you look at the population, you know, 1 in 4, 1 in 5, you know, which means that if you go by 200 million Nigerians, how many by extrapolation, would now, you know, are likely to test positive. If you now domesticate it to Lagos, 22 million population, 4 or 5 million people must be testing positive to coronavirus as we speak.
Yes, okay, so people test positive, all right? And they can either come out as asymptomatic, all right? Or they can have a mild infection, or they can have severe infection, all right? However, the case fatality for Nigeria is still, I think it's still less than 3%, if I'm correct. I think it's less than 3%. So that means that for everyone who has severe form of the illness, less than 3% have still died. So that's a kind of like, in Africa, I think South Africa has one of the lowest case fatality. And I think we're somewhere in between. So the reality of it is that, yes, a lot of people are positive. They have the virus. But 90% of them, more than 90% of them, they come out as asymptomatic infections, all right? And the other part of that statistic, they come out as those with mild or moderate symptoms that will not either weak or will or will not require hospitalization.
All right.
Go ahead. But the government recognizes this, and what they have done is that they have licensed private hospital providers to also support the effort of the government, because the government cannot do it all by themselves. So what has happened is that many of the healthcare providers in Lagos particularly, they set up isolation centers. And those isolation centers have the ability to test. They have the ability to look after patients with moderate to very severe form of COVID-19 infection.
Okay. Now, I'm very happy you mentioned the issue of private laboratories. The people, the citizens, are at a loss as to why they should be paying 50,000, 52,000, 400, thereabout, for a COVID test. This price is too much. It's too high. And therefore, you would see that it's one of the reasons why people are not testing. Let me just give you two examples. I had a friend who wanted to take the entire family for a test, and the house help said, sorry, give me my own 50,000, daddy. I cannot pay 50,000 naira, you know. Okay. Now, for us here, even, and we just spoke with her, about an hour ago, one of our staff here had the symptoms, and the first instinct was to go do the treatment and do the test later, because everything pointed out to coronavirus. And instead of spending 50,000 naira to go and do a test, the 50,000 naira was deployed into treating, you know, the virus. Now she's negative, but, you know, it will have been 100,000 naira either, I mean, both ways. First time you test, and even you have to go back to test. Don't you think this is affecting, you know, the number of samples tested compared to the entire population?
I think we need to look at it critically and say to ourselves, really, have we not all, because of some of the inefficiencies that we see in government-run laboratories, all of us have now migrated to the private sector? Because I think on the government side, you're not supposed to pay anything for the test. The test is free.
It's free at NIMR, for example.
So the reality of it is that folks have a choice. They've got a choice to go to the government side. And the government has made that provision for them to say, hey, folks, you don't have any money. You can come to us. We will test you. And will deliver exactly what the private sector is able to deliver. On the private sector side, look, there's nothing in the value chain of providing the COVID-19 testing service that is manufactured in this country. Let's start from there.
Mm-hmm.
So the testing kit itself and the consumables required to do the test, to the equipment that is required to do the test, is all fully imported dollar-based equipment and consumables. And you know how the market is. You know what exchange rates are. Mm. If you invest in this sector, you've got to have a way to recoup your investment. So if 50,000 naira is it a lot? Look, I had the privilege of traveling through about 3 or 4 countries in the month of February or March. And in South Africa, it was about 830, 840
rands. Yeah.
So that converts to just a little over, I think it's 100 and something like that, dollars or something like that, okay? I went through Addis Ababa, and my South African test was expired while I was there, so I needed to do another test. And I was charged about 5,000 birr. That's roughly about 126 or 127 US dollars. Mm. So the reality of it is that if you look at it on a dollar price, I think the Nigerian test is still cheaper than many of the other countries that are in Africa, so to speak. So if we want the service on the private side, there is a need for us to pay for it. But the government is not saying that you need to pay compulsorily. No, there is an option for those who can't afford the payment to go to the government side, which is a good thing. Now, for the individual, your staff, who now has to treat before testing, I think that should not be encouraged, because the fact of the matter is that a lot of other community-acquired infections in Nigeria can present as or medical disorders in Nigeria can present as with fever, with cough, with chills, with body aches, with headache, with sore throat, you know, with shortness of breath, you know, with diarrhea, with running nose, with fatigue. I mean, malaria is a very, very good example of that. So pneumonia is a very good example of that. It could not be. You know, so the reality of it is, in this time where we have a deadly virus that is of epidemic proportion, we shouldn't. This is not the time for us to self-medicate. This is actually the best time for us to use all of the services that are available for us to test, for us to ensure that we have a diagnosis. You know, we need to have a diagnosis of what the medical problem is before we commence any form of treatment. That is very, very important that we do that at this time. Because when we begin to self-medicate, there is a chance that we will not do the right thing, and in the end, it can cause the patient some form of complications or even their life in the extreme, so to speak. So we need to practice evidence-based. That is what we need to do at this time. It's not a time for us to be advising people. The nurses who are self-medicate because they think it's coronavirus. It may not be coronavirus. They may not have COVID infection. Or they've had it, and it's not COVID alone.
Yeah.
You have people who have had, you know, malaria and COVID-19 in the same body.
Yeah, I understand you and I feel you. The point really is that the high cost, you know, dissuades voluntary testing. And so people don't typically go to test until they are really, really, really down. In the case of a global pandemic, I guess that it should be easier to, you know your status, in quote, than wait for it, you know, to degenerate before you now confirm whether, you know, you have the coronavirus. Also, the public health facilities for testing are few and, you know, as at the and far in between. If you look at January 31st report of Lagos State, they have only 4. They don't operate every day, and any day they operate between 10 and 12. So it's really, really cumbersome. They are largely inaccessible, and I'm just saying for a global pandemic, I think maybe, because we are trying to review, government needs to do a bit more. NIMR this morning, the DG said yes, they do walk-through, they do drive-through and all of that. Okay, yeah, maybe it's getting better. That's in the last 2 months, you know. And I'm just saying that the response from our own end, both the citizens and the government, is what we are just trying to review and analyze. Certainly, I mean, if you are sick, you must go to the hospital. But the citizens are reacting that way because of the costs involved, you know, and that's what I was just trying to highlight. And of course, we've even spoken to some of the laboratory operators, and if you look at all the agents and reagents and all the things they are talking about, some are saying that this thing shouldn't be more than between 15,000 and 20,000 naira. And I mean, if the federal government can do it free, then it's really possible in some areas. Anyway, we are reviewing, so nobody's giving a position. Okay, so let's move now to the global space. How come, or why do you think in Nigeria the effect of COVID-19 is not as devastating, you know, as much as we have in the Western world? Look at the numbers in Nigeria. Number of deaths so far, 1,923. If you see what's happening in America, wow, scary. You know, if you see what's happening in the UK, scary. Why do you think this is so?
Look, I think for me, let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to the basics and say, have we collected enough data to make this deduction accurately?
Mm.
I don't think we have done that.
Exactly.
Because we've had two waves of COVID-19 in Nigeria now. The first one was in February last year, okay? And it ended, if I'm correct, somewhere around July. Or if I think around July last year. Round about July, yes, August. Started in, so around April, then ended about July, August. And then we had the second wave, which started around November last year. And we're still in the midst of it, even till now. Now, the thing about it is that, have we truly captured accurately the cause of death? Have we truly captured accurately the causes of mortality in this time period in Nigeria? Because in my opinion, I don't think we have tested adequately. And I don't think that we have captured accurately the causes of death of Nigerians. Let's look at what is it? What is the pattern? Every country has a pattern. Every country has a pattern. Month in, month out. How people die.
Yes.
Okay? So, and if indeed COVID-19 is a very, very important cause of death in Nigeria in that period. So we've got to look at the excess death in this country and say, okay, what is our pattern? What is different this year? At least we should be able to extrapolate and say, can we attribute all of this to COVID-19 alone? Have we accounted for the deaths due to terrorism, all the other things, the kidnapping and all the other things that are going on that are outside of medical? So I don't think that we have the true picture, and we cannot accurately make that deduction to say, these are the things that we can attribute the statistics in Nigeria to, because we haven't, in my opinion, collected the evidence to make those deductions accurately.
Okay, fine, and I truly understand that position, which I believe is what everybody is saying, that the figures that we have are not real figures. The figures are not real. Or they are not actual or factual, either way, or any which way we look at it. Okay, let's move to another very important issue. The vaccines are here in Nigeria, 4 million for starters. And
yes.
What does this portend? And I would also like you to weigh in on the way it's going to be administered. We're talking largely now about public figures from what we hear. What about the elderly? Shouldn't there be priority at a point like this?
Look, I think, like every other country, we are very glad that the government made a spirited effort to ensure that we have vaccines in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
although it's coming behind other countries.
Better late than never, they say.
It's better late than never, yes. And vaccines have a significant role to play in the prevention and the perpetuation of this viral pandemic. So, having said that, the logistics of distribution and the access for citizens to the distribution points is something that Nigeria has worked out well in the past. We have a functioning vaccination program in Nigeria, for instance, run by the state primary healthcare development agencies, coordinated by the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency, which is part of the infrastructure that does primary healthcare in Nigeria. All of them work with the under the Ministry of Health to ensure that all the vaccines in Nigeria, they are distributed, they have holding areas, they have where they store them, they have the cold chain, they have all of that in place. And I think it was a good thing that we selected the vaccines that we, I think here we're going to be distributing AstraZeneca vaccine here. And I think for me, that speaks well to the infrastructure that we have in Nigeria at the moment. Now, in terms of who's getting what first, where we're getting what first, I understand that the first vaccination will start in Abuja on Friday. That's the 5th. Of March, and I think subsequently all of that space will get distributed to them. I don't know what the formula will be, but I think, of course, they have worked that out through the state primary healthcare development agency. And of course, the government is insisting that they will be the primary drivers and controllers of the vaccination effort. And I think it makes sense. Because if you look at it, when it was said in the media that chloroquine was an effective agent against COVID-19, unscrupulous businessmen from, I don't want to name the area of the world so that there will be no retribution. They started coming in with fake chloroquine, infiltrating the supply chain to the point that we couldn't even treat malaria normally again because of the fact that what was in the supply chain was already adulterated.
Wow.
And you know these criminals. You know these criminals. They will go to any length to hijack what is normal, to put what is abnormal in it. So that's why government is insisting that they will control the distribution, they will control the access, and I think it's a good thing if that is not sabotage. So, health workers should get it first, because they are the ones in front, I would say.
That's
what most countries have done. Because without doing that, who's going to look after the sick patients? So, once health workers have gotten it, we know then that they are in a position to remain in their battle line, and they will be able to deliver care to as many people who are ill going forward. So we need to now select those who are also vulnerable in the community. You know, the elderly, the people with comorbid medical conditions, all right? And then we go down the scale till we get to the point of those who are healthy, who really don't, who will really, really not be fall ill or so if they get infected by the virus. So I'm not sure the modalities of selection has been announced yet. I haven't seen anything in that regard.
Yeah, I heard but yesterday I that senators and all of those and all of those and all of those were the first set of people. But it's okay. I mean, somebody has also said that, yes, you need them to take it. And when you see them living and not dead, people will tend to
it's
believe. So it's more
your
like a testimonial.
Your piece of that is good.
Yeah.
Yes. Your piece of that is good.
Yes.
So that needs to happen in Nigeria, where everything is visual there,
yes,
than anything else. So it would be nice for them to do that, so that they can see that no, nothing has happened to them. All of the heresy and all of the things they are saying about the vaccine being this and attempts by some people to control the world, that all of that will fall away. So people will now say, okay, let us engage this service and let us get vaccinated.
Okay. All right. So as we wind down, because we are already like 30 minutes. Okay. So let us look at something that is very, 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 very important. This has affected economic life, whether we like it or not. Lockdown or no lockdown, it's no longer business as usual. It has affected the nature of work, and people are no longer going to. What do you think will happen in the future? Back to my very first question. This has come to stay. How are we likely to cope with it, vaccine or no vaccine? What are the things that we must continue to do as a community, as a nation, to ensure that we stem the tide of the ravaging effects of COVID-19?
It's a very interesting question that you ask. And I think the solution to this is still evolving. But what is certain is that every organization needs to adapt. We need to adapt and we need to re-strategize to see how do we reach our market? How do we address the needs of our customers without making physical contact with them? Amazon has done it brilliantly. And you can see the way the shares of Amazon, the value of the company itself went so high during the period of the lockdown because they've anticipated it, they've developed the infrastructure, and they've made it so easy to get any goods you wanted from any part of the world into your home. And I think we all need to begin to reconfigure our business to see that this is the new normal. This is the new normal. And some people and some companies in Nigeria, they're already taking steps to ensure that this happens. Many of the healthcare, for instance, the hospitals, they've developed their telemedicine platforms. Many apps have come up that are changing the way we access healthcare. Right? So the reality of it is that we need to adapt. There's a need for us to adapt and change our model of doing business. Brick and mortar will still be applicable in certain locations in the world. But the other day I was listening to a documentary about real estate value in the city of London, where so many companies have had to work from home. And many of the offices are empty and businesses servicing those offices, they're having issues, they're having serious problems of remaining open. Restaurants are closing down.
Yes.
You know, lots of retail outlets are closing down. Malls, shops are closing down. You know, look at soccer, for instance, football. They had to continue the season without spectators in many countries.
I dare say the English Premiership is one that has defied COVID-19. I'm sure they looked at it and said, look, there's huge money to lose here. And they fought back.
Exactly.
And they just staged the comeback. You know, okay, no, we don't want the crowd, but let the show continue. You know,
we'll keep playing.
And I think that's a very smart one. Or else it would be very, very, very
exactly. So that's the adaptation that we need to think out of the box.
And talking about retail outlets too, now you see Primark is dead. You know, Primark never used to do online services.
Exactly.
While Amazon is growing, Primark is dead, you know.
Exactly. So there's a need to reconfigure businesses. We've got to think out of the box to see how do we reach the customer? How do we still provide the goods and services without having physical contact, and the customer experience will still remain exceptional?
Yeah, that's for example what we're doing here right now. We're talking over the phone. We do more of WhatsApp calls to our guests and interviewees. We do Zoom calls. It's part of adaptation. And I really don't have to be in the studio to do this. You and I can be on a Zoom call and this program will be going with just one person in the studio. You know,
absolutely.
So everybody's getting, and even here, for example, we don't work every day. We do a lot of remote broadcasts and, you know, set it up, you know, and That's it. That's the new norm, really.
My two cents worth of advice is adapt or die.
Yes. 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 That's true. Same with innovate or die. Okay. Now, I think looking at the COVID-19 situation in Nigeria, I dare say listening to the Director General of the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research this morning, I think the federal government has done quite well, you know, in spite of all our inadequacies, they've risen up to the challenge. Now, what about the states? I asked them a specific question. You know, a state like Kogi has retained its 5 number of LAF confirmed cases in the last 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah. What is happening in an environment like that? Secondly, the DG. Okay. Take this one. I'll come back with the second one.
So is it the state at the mercy of the federal government because of the fact that their funding is done from the center? Some of them have come out of that loop, like Lagos State, where Lagos State is an independent entity. In Nigeria.
It's a country. Lagos is a country on its own.
You know. so the reality of it is that they are not bothered about what's going on in the center. And that's why the pandemic response in Lagos, you can say that Lagos State provided the best response, in my opinion, out of all the states in Nigeria, because the resources are available to do the right thing and to make sure that the infrastructure is created and the services the people of the state can access it. So, on the other hand, states that are not as fortunate financially as Lagos State will need to really, really dig deep to be able to provide half or even a quarter of the level of service that Lagos State has been able to provide. All right, so it's mainly a resource constraint that has not engendered the right progression from idea of intervention to the intervention itself at the state level. Many of them have programs that they conceptualize and they try to run with it. Most of them don't even have laboratories. The laboratories are only coming up now in the second wave.
Yeah, exactly, which was the point the DG, Professor Salako, was making, that each state should invest in laboratories, even if it's by senatorial districts or local governments, you know.
So that tells me, that's a red flag to tell you that these folks don't have the resources to do so. So one thing, again, is to have the resources to invest. And say, you will look after our people who provide testing capacities. You have to be able to maintain a certain degree of testing with those consumables, those reagents, and all the things that need to be imported, the PPE gears that those health workers who are testing need to wear. They are quite expensive. We don't manufacture anything in Nigeria. Even the face mask. We buy the material for the medical mask and we only cut and stitch together in Nigeria. We don't make it out of the original component in Nigeria. And I think this is the time for us to sit up, even at the state level, to say, look, is there anything in health that is required that we can make and transform how we do things and generate IGR and reinvest it back into public health in the states? And I think those are some of the things that people need to begin to look out for. But rather than play the ostrich and bury the head in the sand and say, COVID-19 is not here. No, COVID-19 is here. The whole world cannot be wrong and you'll be right. Whoever is saying that is just in denial. So the reality of it is that the states need to do more. However, they are resource constrained. They are severely resource constrained to do more.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, we've been speaking with Dr. Gbenga Omonije, medical practitioner, emergency and trauma specialist on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. This COVID-19 country review, 1 year after COVID-19. Remember, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Let's go on a break. When we come back, we round up this interview. Let's take a breather. Let me allow you to drink some water or whatever is close by you there. I got something close by me. All right, so just hang on there, Doc. We'll be back in another 2 minutes. Let's just take a breather.
Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Nigeria hasn't always justified the faith of its people, but there comes a time when you are pushed to the wall and there's nowhere to go but up.
If we just decide in our hearts that we want to believe in Nigeria and we want to take steps every day to make this country a better place.
This is our dream, and a new Nigeria is that dream that we so much seek and desire.
The destiny of Nigeria is in our hands. We are the country. The country is us.
We are Nigeria.
We are that turning point generation. We are Nigeria. We
Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
We are the future. We are the dream. We are the nation. We are part of this. Yes, we are so amazing. That's the least we shall be. At the heart of the nation, changing history. How can they say that we are finished? We have just begun. When we have nowhere else to run, do we have nowhere else to go? So get out of the way of the land of our dreams. We are the nation, we are part of this. Oh, oh. We are the nation, we are part of this.
Up to speed.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we are on the final lap of our conversation on the COVID-19 country review this day, Wednesday, 3rd of March in the year of our Lord 2021, with Dr. Gbenga Omonije, medical practitioner, emergency and trauma specialist. All right, Doc, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I hope you were able to grab something to drink.
Oh, yeah.
All right, it's been a very interesting conversation, and I've been getting a lot of feedback and tweets. People are, you know, they want to know a little bit more, okay? For example, when a patient gets out of COVID, out of the infection, what are the likely things that linger on? I've seen some patients, some people who have survived COVID, they still cough, they're still short of breath, some have memory loss and all of that. What are the things that, you know, a patient is likely to experience even after the patient has been tested and it is negative?
So we're talking about the complications of COVID-19 infection.
Yes, sir.
And the reality of it is that, you know, because the first thing is that the patient could have the infection and they would be without any complications at all. All right?
Okay.
That's the first scenario that will play out. However, a lot of people, some people actually, who have had very serious form of COVID-19 can develop very severe form of heart condition, heart inflammatory condition, because what happens is that the COVID-19 virus provokes like an inflammation storm. The body responds in an overwhelming way with an inflammatory response. And in doing that, organs within the body become damaged because of COVID-19 response by the immune system in the body. So some cardiac complications have been associated with COVID-19, which include myocardial infarction, heart attack, what they call microembolic complications, you know, injury to the heart muscle. Some people come up with irregular heartbeat. The heart begins to beat very, very fast. You know, some come with heart failure. Some will go and start having, they go home and they discover that they start having chest pain. All right? Mm-hmm. They come up with all kinds of things like cardiomyopathy. The heart does not function properly. Some will come up with pericarditis or even myocarditis. So all of this COVID-19 cardiac complications, they can happen after people survive, after patients survive the severe form of COVID-19 infection. Some people have said they've had neurological problems. Some have had some form of, very few cases have been reported about some form of a brain anomaly or cerebral anomaly following COVID-19. And also people come down with all kinds of pneumonia and chest respiratory problems because of COVID-19. Some people have acute kidney failure which progress now to chronic kidney failure that they will now require some form of dialysis. So those are extreme rare cases of complications that happen to patients who have COVID-19. They are not very, very common, but they have been reported. But most of the people who have the infection, they come out without any form of complication.
What about those that still cough after testing negative? Some of them go around with this.
I agree. Some people will have that residual cough as a result of the inflammatory response to COVID-19 following the infection. And this may actually be attributable to probably the scientists who have investigated these conditions have said that because of the collapse and the mucus plug that is in the alveoli, usually a person would have the cough reflex in order to try to open up those parts of the lungs that have collapsed because of COVID-19 infection.
Okay, yes. What about those who still have respiratory issues? Is it real?
Say that again?
What about those who still have some respiratory issues? Difficulty in breathing.
They need to present to their doctors. Some of them will require some form of physiotherapy. All right.
Yes.
Some will still need to have ongoing surveillance just to see that they don't deteriorate or they don't have any form of secondary bacterial infection that climbs on top of the primary COVID-19 complications that they suffered while they were in hospital.
Okay, final question. Can you be infected twice?
I read that sometime in one journal that the person who had COVID-19 once had it again. But I think before the vaccine came out, they would say that once you had an infection, you would have some form of immunity for a period of 5 to 6 months. And there was a report about a health worker who had that and then he became infected again. So the deduction from that was that it was a short-term immunity that is conferred on individuals when they have COVID-19. but it wasn't a widely held. It's possible, yes. It's possible to have. Just to answer your question, it's possible because it has been documented that it happened.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so once it hits you once, it could also hit you again. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Gbegaw Monije. Thank you for being a part of our COVID-19 country review 1 year after COVID-19 in Nigeria on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
I truly and sincerely appreciate this. Let's end this one with this song by Kobam Sasukwa, which tells us that coronavirus, we go win. Thank you.
My brother, my sister, papa, mama, and pikin. Corona, no big pass us. We go fight time, we go win. As long as we remember to always do the right thing. Wash your hands, love each other, we go win, oh. Corona, na the virus, we the worry human being. He no get Lego, but he dey waka from person to person. But we fit be time, we fit stop time, if we maintain good hygiene and practice social distancing, we go in all. No shaking hands with your neighbor. Blow them a kiss from afar. Let's show this thing who we are. We are special, we're courageous, we are awesome human beings. We de super, we get power, we can conquer anything. If we hear word and obey laws and exercise discipline. Wash your hands, love each other, we go, we know. If it be like say you know well, like it's something they do you, and you feel say you believe say it get a seed it do you, and your body no grisogy, like it's something they do you, no let panic finish you, you go in all. Self isolate for the sake of. Courageous, you're a cajad human being. You too much, oh, you get power, you can conquer anything. Only if you hear word and obey laws and exercise discipline. Wash your hands, love one another, we go, we know. My brother, my sister, papa, mama, and pekin. COVID-19, no big pass, we go fight and we go win. Just as long as we remember to always do the right thing. Wash your hands, love each other, we go win, oh.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.